Welcome to the Vital Goddess Podcast, the place to be to embody the goddess you were born to be. I'm Diane Shepherd, certified Tantra coach with a specialty in the Taoist Jade Egg practice. I offer a mind, body, spirit, and trauma-informed perspective on Taoist and Tantric practices to help you heal your relationship to your sensuality, reclaim your pleasure, and tap into the life force power of your sexual energy, which is definitely not just about sex. It's the foundation of everything, your mental and physical health, your creativity, your joy, your vitality, and it's also a direct line to your unique expression of the sacred feminine. And what the world needs now more than ever are more women like you embodying the goddess they were born to be. You see, we're at a crucial point in human history right now. A new way of being human is emerging on the planet. And at the heart of that shift is the rise of the sacred feminine. How is the feminine rising in you? Let's find out. I am so glad you're here. Welcome to the show. Well, hello there, gorgeous. Welcome back to the Vital Goddess Podcast. If you've been here before and you're back again, I am so thrilled you're back for another episode. Welcome back. And if you are brand new to the show, I am over the moon that you are here. And I hope you find something here for you. I hope you find something useful, supportive, maybe inspiring on some level. My work is all about supporting women who really want to reclaim their pleasure, their sensuality, tap into the creative life force power of their sexual energy, their eros, and really align with their desires and really claim their creatrix they came here to be, embodying the goddess, I like to say, you came here to be, your own unique expression of the sacred feminine. So if that's something that you're into, I think you will be happy here. So welcome, welcome. Okay, so in today's episode, I want to dive into the topic of grief. I know I just said it, grief. I know that doesn't sound very sexy on the surface, but I think it is really essential for to talk about in this realm. And I want to give you a ritual for you to really embody your eros and support you in moving through grief in a way that doesn't like try to get rid of it, but more like so it can feel better in your body, so you can come into what your body is trying to experience when you are experiencing grief. So if that's something you're interested, definitely stay tuned. I'm going to give you a super simple, it has to be simple when you're feeling strong emotions like grief. So I think you'll find this really helpful. You know, something I use all the time. So I wanted to share it with you. And I'm also, I have a cough drop in my mouth. I hope it doesn't alter the audio experience for you too much. I have a bit of a cold here. And so I want to soothe my voice as I speak to you so it doesn't break up every 5 seconds. So yeah, I wanted to go into grief because it's been coming up a lot in my world with my clients, with friends, with you know, people in my world. And I think there are like two levels, probably many levels of this, but you know, what's happening globally, of course, many people are feeling grief around different circumstances that have been going on the world stage, absolutely. And on a personal level, so many people I know are experiencing like deep personal loss and therefore grief, you know, just losing loved ones and, you know, animals that were close to them and family members. So it just feels like a good time to do an episode on grief. And again, I want to offer you my perspective on it. I'm not going to go through stages of grief. I know there's so much out there that you can research and study. A lot of amazing work in the world of psychology on grief and how to process grief. But what I want to offer here has to do with sensuality and eros and grief, which I know sounds really bizarre if you've never put those things together before. But what I found is essential for me to really get into a healthier relationship with my grief. because when grief comes in my life before I started to awaken my sensuality and my pleasure and had these embodiment tools, let's say, grief used to really impale me, like really feel heavy, like really stuck. And that might just be a stage of grief, but it would just really, I didn't know what to do with it. Feels like a big boulder on me. It felt so heavy. It actually was really infused with a lot of shame. I know that sounds bizarre too, but I'll unpack what I mean by that. And you might be able to relate to this, you know? So if you come from a family of origin, a family system that was emotionally immature, right? Didn't know how to handle emotions, strong emotions like anger and grief and things like that. Didn't have the tools. And this is not about blaming our parents or caregivers. They most likely, hopefully, did the best they could with the tools they had. And many of us, if you're in my generation, I'm 61 now, but many of us were raised in an era where a lot of parents did not have access to really important information on, you know, working through their own emotions. Definitely trauma was not in everyday conversation. Working through your trauma and your emotional experiences was just not something people talked about. It was the, you know, the generation of sweeping it under the rug, right? So of course, when strong emotions happen, which of course they do, quite often that would impact us as young children, very young children, sometimes pre-verbally, profoundly. So for example, my parents, something happened in their lives that felt really heavy and awful, whether it was like the assassination of JFK, for example, which happened when I was 1 year old. I don't remember that, but I'm sure emotionally it affected me, right? Being Irish Americans, that was something that was huge for, I think so many Americans, but more, you know, I think a lot of Irish Americans took that on a very personal level, and there was a lot there, you know, in terms of, you know, how that impacted culture. So that's just one example of like something heavy happens and, you know, people maybe don't have the tools to move it through, to talk about it, to be there for each other, to hold space. And as a really young kid, you could be like, I think I was probably like, you want to like name the elephant in the room. You're intuitive, you're empathic as a child, and you feel emotional energy, right? So I'm just using that as an example. Something heavy happens and your parents don't know how to handle it. And then you start emoting, right? Because you feel something here needs to move and you get shamed for it because they're just like, you know, shut up, you know, just go away. We're not going to talk about that kind of thing. So anyway, I think that's how initially it can start to really complicate that relationship between grief and shame. We could be like when something happens to us where we experience grief, it can really be loaded with a whole lot of shame as well, right? And shame is a very heavy vibration. So it really complicates how we process our grief. This is just my take on it, right? And I really felt that throughout my life when things happened. But when I was 14, I had a really kind of catastrophic event happen where I lost my best friend, to a violent car accident, and came out of the blue and devastating to not just me, but our whole community, my family. She was very, you know, close to a lot of people in my life, and the adults in my life, not just my parents, no one knew how to handle it. It was just that kind of loss is really, really intense, right? So I think some of the shame probably throughout early childhood was woven into that as well. So I just remember that being like such a heavy brick, and looking around to, older people in my life, and nobody really knew what to say, knew what to do, knew how to process it. And I'm not saying that from my place of being a victim about it. I'm just saying this might have been, you may have had similar experiences, right? So then it could even make it even more complicated, and that stuff gets kind of encoded in our system. When something grief-inducing happens and we experience it, it can bring up a very complex, heavy experience that we don't even know what to do with it. It can be very overwhelming. We can really get into that place of what's called in the nervous system, place of freeze, right? The dorsal vagal, technically, of where like, instead of like, I just can't, right? So that can get us stuck for, you know, long periods of time and really have devastating effects on our health, right? It can really affect your immunity and so many things. And of course, your availability for connection and intimacy, even the way you digest your food, all of these things get affected by strong emotions that aren't able to be processed. And I'm not saying grief should be processed quickly by any means. I hope I said that earlier. It's something we can come back to again and again, and just being kind to ourselves and gentle with ourselves in the process and finding ways to really support our nervous system in the process, I think is so important, right? So yeah. So and then when something happens on the news, we can still have that heavy brick feeling can come in, right? So I see this a lot in my work as well, where when women will start to do the work of reclaiming their pleasure and their sensuality and then hit a wall of grief that they didn't even know they were carrying. Yeah. It gets stored in the body. You've probably heard the amazing book on trauma. It's called The Body Keeps the Score, one of the best book titles ever. But these experiences that we weren't able to process get stored in the body. So when we start to do body work that opens the body, of course, is going to come up for healing, up for processing. So there are many layers to this, right? This is why I wanted to give you a simple ritual to support you in, you know, working with grief, whatever, you know, is causing it or whatever is bringing it to your table and your life. So what I found to be true is that I know with me, and maybe this is true for you, that when I felt grief, like the last thing in the world I wanted to do was, you know, feel into my body or, God forbid, feel sensual or pleasure, right? And yet, in other cultures, Eros is woven into the grief process. I had the privilege of living in West Africa for a couple of years when I was in my 20s. And not that I really connected all the dots at that time, but what part of the process they would, you know, have for grief was women would just dance and like just be a hot mess and just really get into this embodied experience of their grief, and they would be witnessed by community. So literally like clothes ripped, you know, making themselves, making their hair a mess. And just, there was a certain Eros to it as well, of just the movement and the almost like taboo way of being in public that you're not normally allowed to be seen looking like that. That was all invited in, right? So it's really amazing how everyone would stop and just hold space for this raw moment, not moment, but experience this woman was having of maybe losing a child or something like that, right? Which was sadly, you know, fairly common. So, you know, years later, I started connecting the dots of like how brilliant that was and how embodied, you know, that experience was in that culture, which I thought was amazing, right? Where in the Western world, anywhere where I grew up, it just feels like a much more heady experience, which I think keeps us stuck. It's part of the problem, right? We don't let our body have her experience. I guess in this case, we're talking about the female body of grief, right? So yeah, what do we do? So what I want to offer here is many of you probably know that I teach tantric practices, but also a lot of my work is from the Taoist practices of the jade egg practice. And the jade egg practice, the yoni egg practice is, you know, basically just as it sounds, working with a crystal egg internally in the vagina or the yoni, which again can bring up a lot of emotion, right? Working with emotion. So as part of this system, it's a whole yoga system really of deep healing, mind, body, and soul. A lot of emotional healing goes along with that. And really it's about getting to the root cause of some of our deeper, longer harbored emotions. And one of the tools that we use for that is something called the Taoist healing sounds. And when, you know, they're super simple, but I found this vibrational vocal healing to be really effective and something we use a lot in my work. So I'm not going to teach you a yoni egg practice today, but I am going to teach you one of the healing sounds, the one that specifically targets grief that can really help liberate some of the energy of grief so it doesn't get stuck, so it can be experienced, so that you can access the gem of the deeper compassion and love and heart opening that's available, and even like a deeper eros that's available when we really embrace grief, you know? So yeah, the healing sound we're going to be working with here is from that system and in that context. Okay, so I'll just get right into the ritual because that's probably what you want to hear, right? So what I would do, I'm a big believer in creating containers for yourself. So creating a safe space for yourself. It doesn't have to be a big elaborate thing. Just a little nest. I like cozy nests. So whatever that means for you, it could be on your couch, just put a pile of blankets on there, pillows, and just make a space where you are going to commit to just a minute or two of practice. You want to just titrate this in. You don't want to go too long, too quick, because that can also be overwhelming to the nervous system, right? So I'm a big believer in just, you know, bite size and then coming back to it, you know, again and again. It's about repetition and being kind to yourself and really noticing how you're feeling. So making a nest for yourself, right? And you can put on some music. I know some people like to use a timer, but I like to say do one song. Say if you're brand new to this, one song could be more like 3 minutes, right? Or 2 minutes. Pick a song that's not overwhelming. It could be helpful if there are not lyrics. You can definitely check out my Spotify library. I've got lots of music that's really conducive to working with breathwork and movement. That you can check out. I'll make sure I link that in the show notes. But just picking out a song that resonates with you, kind of feels supportive, and then just coming in to our breath. Now, before you do that, what I'd love to see you do, if this feels right, is to find an object of clothing. I like textiles, right? So a scarf, a silk scarf or a cashmere scarf, or it could even be a cashmere sweater, something that feels so good on your skin. I'm a big believer in the power of textiles to soothe us. So see if that appeals to you and you want to grab whatever that is that you're going to use and then, you know, put on your music. And then just lie down and you're just soothing yourself with that beautiful textile, silk or cashmere, and just allow yourself to receive, getting in that receptive mode. And then starting to breathe, not in a forceful way, but a real gentle way, just breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth with a sigh, just kind of letting yourself land, coming into the body, getting out of that thinking about it, coming into that feeling about it, right? Then breathing into the heart and then eventually breathing into the womb space. If you don't have a physical womb, no big deal at all. No problem. We're working with the energy center here. So breathing into the womb space, breathing into the deep yoni is what we want to do, because from the Taoist reflexology system, that's where the grief tends to get stored, in the deep yoni, right? So breathing in, deep breath into the womb space, into the deep yoni. And when you feel ready, really gently at first, making the sound hiss. Sounds like a hissing snake. I don't know if snakes actually make that sound, but hiss, and letting it be easy. So this sound can really help liberate grief from where it, from this perspective, gets stored in the lungs and the deep yoni. So you might feel a little vibration happening in your lungs. You might even feel some vibration happening in the deep yoni as you make this sound. But again, just start slow and smooth and just that hiss. And what I'd like to invite you into as well is a little movement here, some non-linear movement. So as you're hissing, allowing your movement to be serpentine, since we're doing a snake sound, right? Just allowing yourself to do the subtlest movement of, you know, following your impulses, really. Moving the pelvis, moving the heart, moving into your curves, I like to say, but in the gentlest of ways, right? And always soothing with that scarf or sweater or whatever you're using. So this combo can really bring you more into what your body's experiencing. So noticing, what sensations you're feeling, noticing, is there tightness? Are there places where you feel like you're bracing or freezing, and not trying to shift that or change that, but just gently connecting to that part, right? So simple, right? So that's my practice for you, or ritual for you. Anytime you feel grief, you know, if you're scrolling on Instagram and you see something that just, oh, I feel so sad about that, give yourself that time. In fact, it's probably best to start when you're feeling that level of grief, getting this practice under your belt so that you have it as a go-to. So when, you know, the deeper things happen, then it's something you're used to. It's something in your repertoire, in your tool basket that you can pull out that'll really support you moving this energy of grief, you know, and really letting your body have her experience. And what I found to be true is that if you can be with it and witness it in this way, allow it, it starts to change. It starts to gather momentum in a way that feels good. You might start getting downloads. You might just start feeling waves of compassion or love. Different nuances might come in for you. I don't want to dictate to you what that would be. But when you give this a try, and if you can stay with it for like at least a minute, I promise you something, it'll open up into something else. It doesn't take that long. Right? It doesn't take that long at all. And it'll shift your mindset, at least temporarily, about it. And you can come back to it. If you feel like you're getting rigid in your thought process with the grief, you're feeling stuck, you could just come back just for like a minute or so. So give that a try and see if that feels, you know, supportive to you. I'd love to hear from you. You can always email me, diane@chakticore.com. And you know, tell me how that goes for you. I'd love to hear from you. All right, that's it for this episode. I will catch you next time. Take care. Thanks so much for tuning in. And if you're resonating with what I'm sharing here on the show, please share the love and pass it along. We need more women like you who are tuned in and turned on to their feminine truth. That's what it's all about. So I'd really appreciate it if you shared it with other women who you think would be like-minded and really interested in these topics. And if you want to take it deeper yourself, head on over to my website, chakticore.com. There'll be a link in the show notes, and you can explore what I've got there for you. You'll find a whole menu of options of how you can take this work deeper and really, you know, expand more on your own journey with this. All right, my love. Again, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you so much. Take care.